Grab a Bible, open up to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Here's the title of the message, Living Life in Its Glory. We are going to take a break from our study in Numbers for this week and next week and do a couple topical messages. I wanted to talk to you this morning about living life in its glory. Why? Here's why. Because it's a brand new year. A brand new year. And there's something about a fresh start. Don't you love a fresh start? You know, as kids, we understood this really well. In recess, when you really blew it and you made a mistake, you would ask for what? What would you ask for? Do-overs. Yeah, do-overs. And may I tell you something? The heart of a child that understands the simplicity of a do-over is a great thing. Because God loves do-overs. God loves do-overs. Hey, He's the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And if life gets messy, hey, no problem. You know why? Because we have a God, we have a Savior who went to this cross, went to the cross for this purpose, to forgive us and to bring us back into a proper standing with Him. He's a God who loves do-overs. He's a God who loves fresh starts. Fresh starts are His idea. And here's what I found about us. We get kind of cynical. We get to a point where, how many of you made a New Year's resolution this year? Let me see you raise a hand. Yeah, nationwide, guess how many? 45% of the United States makes New Year's resolutions. That means 55% don't. Why? Well, maybe we're getting a little cynical. I don't know. Be one of the 45% who do. It's a smart thing to make New Year's resolutions. I have some stats. Of those 45% who make New Year's resolutions, 38% of them, number one resolution, guess what it is? Yeah, you got it. Lose weight. Lose weight. Eat too much for the holidays. Put on a few pounds. Want to start the new year in better shape. Lose weight. That's the number one resolution. Second one is this, financial. 34% make financial resolutions to get their finances in order. Hey, what's your resolution? What's your resolution? And you say, man, I don't do resolutions, man. I don't do it. I give up on that stuff because you know, I can't keep resolutions. Hey, you know, that's faulty logic. That's kind of wrong logic. That's like saying, hey, I don't brush my teeth anymore. They just get dirty anyway. I just get bad breath again. Yeah, brush your teeth. It's good to take a bath. We like it when you do. And in a similar way, it's good to clean up your life. It's good to take a look at and say, hey, how are things going? Yeah, well, it's just going to get dirty. Yeah, you're going to get off track again. But this is a time where we can take a look at our life and say, hey, Lord, I want to line up to your will. I want to realign my life to what you have for me. And here's what I want you to know this morning. Take a look at the title of this message. I put some thought into this title. Look at it with me. Living life in its what? Glory. Living life in its glory. Here's what I want you to grab hold of this morning. Consider this thought. Open your mind to this possibility. God wants you to live a glorious life. Wow. Really? Think about that. Yeah, God wants you to live a glorious life. He doesn't want you to just exist. He doesn't want you to just battle through. Yeah, another day. Go to work. He wants you to live a glorious life. And when God created you, He endowed you with certain giftings, with certain character traits, with certain liabilities, and all of them working together, you are fearfully and wonderfully made for this purpose, that you might live a life to His glory. To His glory. That your life would be spectacular. That you would have a relationship with God. That you would be led by the Creator into a life that had substance, a life that had intrinsic value, a life that was powerful and mighty in the works and actions of Jesus Christ. That's what God has for you. And as we face a new year in 2016, it is wise for us to take an opportunity to analyze our path and look at our trajectory and see if we're on the right course. The psalmist understood this. Psalm 90, David, King David actually, said this. Read it with me out loud. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I didn't hear very many of you. Read it with me one more time. Teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. That's an awesome verse. Here's what he's saying. Teach us, Lord, to think about our life, to realign our trajectory to your will. Why? That we might grow in wisdom, that we might have a glorious life, that we might accomplish all that you created us for. God had great things in mind when he created you. And he wants to do amazing things in your life. And David is saying, Lord, teach me to monitor my course of life, that I might enjoy life to its fullest, that I might use it wisely to accomplish all that you have for me. And it's prudent for us as we begin this new year to do the very same thing. How's your trajectory? How are you doing? Are you on a good course? I don't know about you, but when I'm driving and I'm going somewhere, especially if it's somewhere I don't go very often, maybe I'm going to the river, here's what I like to see. Oh, where's the 15? Oh, yeah, there's the 15. I'm on. Oh, there's the 10. Okay, now I'm on the 10. Oh, where's the 60? Okay, now I'm on the 60. And I like seeing signs that show me I'm on the right direction, that I'm on the right course. And for me, it's really helpful to be reminded regularly at regular intervals. Oh, yeah, still on the right course, still on the right course, still on the... And the Bible is for that very purpose, to guide us and to check our trajectory and to make sure that we're on the right course. And in life, here's what I found. I don't know if you found it. We just sang about it. I'm prone to wander. I'm prone to get on the wrong course. I mean, here I am, head of the right direction. God pointed me in the right direction. I know where I'm going, and next thing I know, off I go. And the Bible gives us some realigning, saying, hey, get back on track, get back on track. And as believers, it is wise for us to take inventory, make an alignment, because time is short. Life is a vapor. And it's wise to evaluate and to make goals. And so this morning we want to do that. God has called us. He has a path for our life. He has things that he wants to do in our life. He's gifted us accordingly. And I tell you what, he wants to do great things with your life. And this morning I want to take a chance, take an opportunity to think, hey, what does God want for you? And right now, here's what I know. Some of you are like, yeah, man, I'm in. I want God's best for me. I really want this. This is going to be a good message. Let's go. Here's what else I know. Some of you are kind of like, come on, really? Here's what I would, if you're on that other side, here's what I would encourage you this morning. Just think about this. Why not open your heart? Why not open your mind? Why not say, Lord, okay, I'll give it a chance. I'll give it 45 minutes. To really think about what you might want to do in my life. Would you do that for me this morning? If you're a little cynical, hey, I understand. I remember coming to church and not being on fire for Jesus. I remember. I remember when I was it was brand new to me. Here's what I want you to hold on to, though. What if God really does have an amazing plan for your life? So may we enter into it today. Let's take a look. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Here's what we're entering into. This is a chapter to really guide us in realigning our lives. As we read Ecclesiastes, here's what I want you to know. It's slightly esoteric. By that I mean esoteric. I mean it's somewhat philosophical. It's Hebrew poetry. It's kind of lofty. And you have to really kind of meditate on the passage to let it speak to us. But here's what I know. With a little bit of effort, we're going to get some insights to have a really successful 2016. Because there's some good stuff here. So I'm going to read it through and then we'll come back and kind of unpack it a little bit more. Are you with me? Ecclesiastes 11, are you there? Here we go. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven, and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow. Sow means plant. He who observes the wind will not plant his crops. He who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed. Plant your seed in the morning. And then in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Truly, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. And all that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are a vanity. Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word, we realize there's some profound depth there. And Lord, it is a bit esoteric. It is a bit philosophical. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, you would give us ears to hear what you're speaking to your church this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What stuck out to you? What jumped out at you? As I was meditating on this chapter this week, I found there were four things that jump out to me, and I would like to share them with you this morning. The first one is, as the chapter goes on, I believe the big message that he's telling us is this: take initiative. Take initiative in your life. Take initiative. Be on the move. Be brave. Be courageous. Be daring. That's what he is saying here when he says, look at verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters. Your bread is your resources. Your bread is your wealth. It used to be in the 60s, if you got hippie parents, they used to call money bread. Hey, you got any bread? Yeah, that meant resources. That meant money. And here he's saying, cast your bread on the waters, and in time, you will find it after many days. Take initiative, be brave, be courageous, be daring. God has given to each of us three T's: time, talents, and treasures. Time, yeah, we all have the same amount of time. We wake up every day with the same, nobody gets more, nobody gets less. Talents, yeah, we all have different gifting. Treasures, yeah, we all have finances that God has given us. A wallet or purse, big or small, we all have one. And here's what the author is saying. He's saying, hey, take initiative with what God has given you. Use it to build a great life. Cast your bread out on the waters. Take what I've given you. Get it out there and build with it. What are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with your time, with your talents, with your treasures? Well, I just kind of like to play it safe. I just like to be secure. Security is really important to me. And so I kind of have a safe little routine I go through. And here, as we take a look at an overview right now, and as we look at 2016, here's what I believe God would speak to us. Hey, take some initiative with the things I've given you and take some scary word. Are you ready for it? Here it is. Take some risks. Yeah, put your bread out on the waters. Whoa, I don't want to do that. I don't want to lose it. God says, hey, I'm capable. I'm capable. Take what I've given you and take some risks. Don't play it so safe all the time. Step out of your comfort zone. Why? Here's why. Because it's possible to play it so safe that you live a neutered life. A neutered life. Yeah, that doesn't sound very good. It doesn't. And yet a lot of us play it so safe, we're so afraid of stepping out, so afraid of risking, that we live a neutered life. Take some risk. I love lions. How many of you love lions? Lions are amazing, majestic creatures. They're so beautiful. I had on my desktop, on my computer, a picture of a lion for a long time. They're glorious. But you know what's sad is to see a lion in a cage. I don't enjoy seeing lions in cages, unable to run, unable to hunt, unable to have dominion, unable to be the king of the jungle that they were created to be. You know what? As the lion was the king of the jungle, do you know what you are? You are the top of the food chain of God's creation. You are the highest order. As the lion is to the animal kingdom, you are head and shoulders above that. You were created for greatness. Why? Because you were meant to walk with God, to know Him, to have fellowship with Him, to be led, guided, and directed by Him, so that He could take your life and bring it into great things. But here's what I know. God will always lead us into areas that are somewhat scary for us to walk into. Why? Because God is taking us to new territories. And a lot of times we don't want to go to new territories. No, I just like my safe little cage. I don't want to step outside of this right here. I know this really well. This is safe. Stepping out over here would be brand new and uncharted for me, and I don't want to go there. And here's what happens. When we go into those uncharted waters, here's what it requires. Faith. It requires direction from God. God, I don't know how to do that. Exactly. That'll make you lean on me. And God wants us to go out and to step out. It's no fun to see a lion declawed and defanged and caged and barely able to move about. And fear can do the exact same thing to us. And here, the first thing we read in Ecclesiastes 11 is take some risks. Take some risks. Don't go through life trapped by fear. Take some initiative. Be brave. Be courageous. Take a step. How about, let me just look at some areas of life. Let's just look at some different categories of life. How about your career? What would it look like for you to take some major risks in your career? What would it look like to really go for it in your career? To step out in faith, to not play it safe? What would it look like for you? You know what? I know some men who actually hate their job, but because of fear, they go through decades working at the same job that they don't even enjoy doing. Now, take an inventory of life for a moment. That might not be a very good trajectory. Now, on the other side, just for a moment, if you're one of those men here this morning, or one of those women here this morning, and you've been stuck in the same job, and here's why you're doing it. You're doing it because you put your family above your own needs, because you put providing for your family even above yourself. Hey, that's honoring. And I would say well done. But you know what's not honoring? To put safety above faith. To put comfort above risk. To put safe above the unknown. God wants you to have faith in Him. Hey, He is capable of taking care of you. And here's what Ecclesiastes is telling us. Get what I've given you and put it out there. And here's what will happen. In time, you will receive an increase. It will come back to you. Let's move the career, from the career category. How about relationship category? How are your relationships? What does this verse speak to you about relationships? Hey, take the initiative. Take the lead. Go for it. Hey, if you're a young man here this morning, if you're one of those three guys passing out Bibles, here's what I want to say to you. Go get the girl. Go for it. Sweep her off her feet. Win her. So show some chivalry. Go out and get her. Pursue her. I mean, win her heart. Well, I don't want to do that. What if she doesn't like me? So what? Take some risks. If she doesn't like you, step out in faith until she does like you. Go win her over. Hey, when I met my wife, I walked into a Standard Brands. She was working behind the counter, and I said, man, I'm going to go for it. And I was no catch. Persistence, baby, persistence. Go for it. Experience and embrace all that God has for you. Yeah, but I'm already married. Hey, how's your marriage? Go for it. Take initiative. Maybe you have some relationships that really aren't what they should be. Maybe you have some friendships and they've grown tired. Invest in those. Why? Here's why. Because friendships are the spice of life. Be fun to be with again. Go out and go for it. Take initiative. Maybe you have a friendship that's waning. Why not call them up and say, hey, do you want to go to the Supercross next Saturday? That'd be fun. Hey, pick out whatever it is you like to do and whatever it is they like to do. Invest in them. Build relationships. Take the initiative. Take some risk. I don't know. I called them a few times and it seems like they don't want to be with me. Hey, so what? Pour into that. Why not take some risks? Life is short. It's a vapor. Build friendships. Man, you're meant to have great friendships. Enjoy what God has for you. This is your life. Have some amazing relationships. Have multiple amazing relationships. Yeah, we talk about career. We talk about relationships. How about a new category? How's your ministry? How's your ministry doing? Are you going for it? Do you realize that God saved you for a purpose because He wanted to do life with you? Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and I want to shine my light into your life, and then I want you to be the light of the world. That's a great thing. How are you doing, light of the world? Are you being light? Are you embracing this call of God upon your life? What's that? Yeah, there's a call of God upon your life. To do what? To be a minister. To be a minister. You are the body of Christ. You are His hands. You are His feet. You are His hands. You are His feet. You are His voice. He wants to use you to be a witness in the world. You know, one of the things that Daniel Messiah said last week that really struck my heart, here's what it was. Maybe it struck yours too. God is really speaking to the Muslim people, to the Islamic people, to the people who believe in nonsense. He is really speaking to them in this way, in dreams and in visions, which is exactly what the prophet Joel said would happen in the last days. He's speaking to them in dreams and visions. Why? And what was the answer he gave? Why? Because the... Oh, it spoke to you as well, didn't it? Because the church is not doing what God called the church to do. The church is too afraid to be a witness to Muslims because they think they're going to blow us up. And now we're afraid. And because we're not being a voice, God has to speak and cry out through the rocks, just like Jesus said on Palm Sunday. I tell you, if these hold their peace, even the rocks will cry out. And here God is speaking in dreams and in visions because we're not. Hey, here's what I want to say. Why don't we do what God called us to do? How's your ministry? You have a ministry. You have a call of God upon your life. And I tell you what, I have found this to be true. I have found this to be so true. Life is the most rewarding when I am walking in God's call. I know life, you would think life would be the most rewarding when I'm at the Apple store picking up something new, when I'm at Nordstrom's getting my new, but it's not. Life is the most rewarding when I am embracing God's call on my life. How are you doing? How many people did you lead to Jesus Christ in 2015? I want you to write the number down on your paper right now. Literally. Yes, I mean honestly. No, for real. Get your pen. How many people did you lead to Jesus Christ in 2015? I want you to write that down. In 2015, I led this many people to Jesus, and I want you to put a number there. Yeah, some of you don't want to do it. You know why? Here's why. Why? Oh, that number might be zero? Really? Wow. No, this isn't guilt trip. This is alignment. Okay? And the purpose of signs is not to tell you, oh, you don't know where you're going. No, that's not the purpose of a sign. What's the purpose of a sign? To get you on the right path. No guilt this morning. If you didn't lead anybody to Jesus Christ last year, no problem. No problem. Let's don't make that same mistake in 2016. That's why we're having a message, right? What's the title of the message? What is it? Living life in its glory. Hey, let's live 2016 in its glory. How many people did you bring to how many people did you bring to church? If you brought someone to church today, you go, man, I'm feeling pretty good. I brought someone to church today. Hey, way to go. Way to go. Good on you. How many people did you bring to mission group? Oh, I'm not in a mission group. Yeah, you can't bring anybody to mission group if you're not in a mission group. And you know what? Not everybody's ready to go to church. Church is a big step for some people. But mission group is an easy step. How many people did you bring to mission group? How many people did you disciple? Disciple? I don't disciple anybody. You don't? Well, here's just trajectory, realignment, sign. Yeah, you're supposed to disciple people. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Guess what that means you're supposed to be doing? I know it's a lot of words, but let's look at them again. Go and make disciples. Guess what you're supposed to be doing? How many disciples did you make? And here's the point. Hey, we're not to find guilt right now. Here's the point. Let's not squander our ministry. Life is short. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And Jesus says, if the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing. Hey, let me put it this way. If that doesn't resonate with you, light of the world, salt of the earth, let me put it this way. You are the spicy mamas. How does that sound? That's what Jesus was saying. Hey, you are the spicy mamas. Go be seasoning in the world. Go be amazing. Go make people say, wow, how is it? You're just so... My neighbor, Kathy, is here. I love my neighbor. Kathy, how long have we been neighbors? 23 years. And here's what I know about Kathy. She is the light of Jesus. She's just happy. She's just joyful. She's got a spring in her step, and she's nicer than I am. I love how she ministers to me on how nice she is. She's got that gift. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing. Hey, you have different gifts. I don't have the super happy, bubbly gift like she does, although I really love that gift. I have different gifts, and I'm to use my gifts out in the world. What's your gift? What's your gift? What's in your bag? What'd God give you? How are you doing with it? Are you using it? Yeah, here's what he's saying. Take it and cast it out on the waters. And here's what's going to happen if you do. If you take what I've given you and you cast it out on the waters, I'm going to bring it back to you. I'm going to bring it back to you. God wants to use your life. And you say, well, man, I don't know. I don't know about any of that stuff. Discipleship, how could I ever make a disciple? Hey, it's easy. You want to know how easy it is? We have these blue one-on-one discipleship books. We'll have them at the welcome table after service. Gil, help me. We'll have them at the welcome table after. We have these blue one-on-one discipleship books. A lot of you here in the church use them. We reorder them all the time. All you have to do is get one of these books and go through it. Super easy. Go through it yourself first and then take someone through it. It's a workbook. You just fill in the blanks. It's so easy. And if you take someone through it, guess what you can do? You can disciple someone. Hey, realign 2016. Maybe your thoughts are, wow, I never came to church thinking I'm going to be a disciple maker, and now I'm a disciple maker. Hey, look at this. The Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing you. This is God's will for your life. It's not complex. It is so rewarding. Here's the thing. Meet at Starbucks. Meet at Panera. Meet at Roberto's. Whatever it is you like. Sit down with someone. Go over the book with them. And watch God use you. Cast your bread out on the waters and read the rest of the verse for me. What happens? It'll come back to you. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. What an amazing thing. And you say, man, I don't know if I could do that. Hey, take some risks. Take some risk. Why not be a guy like Jonathan and his armor bearer? Do you remember this? Jonathan and his armor bearer. Yeah, they're cruising along. Just the two of them, they're away from the rest of the army of Israel. The two of them had got off on their own somehow. And they come up and they come across a camp of Philistines. Hundreds of them there. Philistine army all camped there. And Jonathan looks at this entire army. And being a man of faith, being a man who was embracing the call of God upon his life, he looks over at his armor bearer, and you know what he does? He takes a risk. And here's what he says. Actually, I want you to do this for me right now. If you're in the front, turn around and look backwards. Kind of look around right now. Because the Philistine army that he came against was about this many people, about 250 people. Take a look around. See what you see? And now say this. Hey, you know what? You want to take all these guys on, just you and me, just the two of us? You want to take them all on? And the armor bearer looked at him like he was crazy. Dude, these guys are armed. We're two people. And Jonathan said this, you know, the Lord, he can deliver with two, just as much as he can with 2 million. God doesn't need 2 million to be powerful. God doesn't need 200 to be powerful. God doesn't need 20 to be powerful. God doesn't even need, he could do anything. The Lord could deliver with the two of us just as easily as he could. Do you want to do it? And the armor bearer there trembling says, oh, okay. And so they step out in faith. And you know what happens? Two had victory over 250. Cast your bread out on the water. Take some risk. Take some initiative. And watch God do amazing things. Instead of hoarding your resources, scatter your resources. Scatter your time, your treasure, your talents. What are you doing with your finances? Scatter it. Give generously. And watch God do amazing things. Watch it come back to you. Look what verse 1 says. For after many days you will find it. In other words, you will have profits. Whatever you pour out there, God will give back 100-fold. God wants us to be generous givers of our time, of our talents, of our treasures, of all that we have. He wants us to take risks, and he loves it when we do. Look what Luke 6 says. Luke 6:38. Let me hear you read this out loud. I want to hear everybody's voice together. Ready? Give, and it will be given to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Hey, how good does that sound? Does that sound good? Yeah? Yes or no? Sound good? Raise your hand if it sounds good. Yeah, I want that from God. I want God to give to me with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what I want. What is it? How does it start, though? Give. Crazy. Give. Now, this I'm not asking for your money. I'm not saying give it to me. Go give it to the community. Go give it to someone else. Give. Put it out on the waters. Put it out on the waters. We don't even pass the plate here at the church. Why? We trust God to provide for us. Guess what he does? He provides. And guess what we do as a church? We give. And God keeps providing. He's a good God. Give. Give. And it will be given to you, pressed down, overflowing. Let's go on with the verse. For with the same measure you use... Oh, couldn't we just stop at the first part of the verse? Did we have to put that on there? Here's what God's saying. Hey, take some risks. Take some initiative. Trust me. And here's what I'll do. The same measure you use. Oh, boy, I'll make sure I measure back to you. Are you giving generously? Oh, I'll give generously to you. Are you giving hilariously? Are you using all the resources? And I'm not just talking money. I'm talking time. I'm talking talents. I'm talking treasures. My son Nathan blew up his car. Ruined the engine. We found a used engine for $1,100 on eBay. He drove up and got it. We brought it home. And you know what? There's a guy in the church. I won't say who it is, but his name is Scott Hodges. And Scott Hodges opened up his house. He didn't just open up his house. Here's what he did. He kind of like made this happen. He took the initiative. And he said, no, get that car over here. Hey, did you get that car? And he sent me like 18 texts. I finally said, okay, Nathan, get the car over there. This guy's driving me nuts. He took the initiative. And you know what he did? He spent his entire Saturday helping my son Nathan replace that engine. Using what God has given him in ways that are just honoring to the kingdom. And you know what my son came home saying at 11 o'clock last night, besides I'm tired? Man, I can't believe that a guy would spend that much time helping me. Dad, I don't think I would do that. And you know what's happening? Scott, without ever even opening the Bible, was preaching the loudest sermon. He's a light in the world. And here's what I know about God. God's going to restore and give back and multiply his time and expand his borders and increase his territory because you can't outgive God. And you say, man, I don't have anything to offer. Hey, either am I. I remember my first Bible study I ever taught. Oh my gosh, it was horrific. I remember the first wedding I ever did. Oh my goodness, not too good. I remember then I was at Maranatha Chapel and they said, hey, we want you to teach an adult Bible study class and we're going to charge for it. And we want you to teach. It'll be a 7-week class on midweek and in a classroom setting. And I'm like, are you sure? And I remember the first night watching those people come, knowing that they paid a whopping $15 to take that class. And I thought, oh, man. And you know what? The class wasn't very good. I'm just going to be honest. Wasn't that great? But the Word of God is powerful. And God's Word does not return void. And I was faithful to proclaim God's Word. And now God keeps pouring into me. And hopefully I get a little better and a little better at doing what He's asked me to do. And that's God's way. He grows us. He builds us. And He equips us and He puts more into us. Take initiative. Use what God has given you. Take risks. Invest. I want you to know something. If you would have bought $3,000 worth of Apple stock at its initial public offering in 1980. Do you know what you would have today? $3,000. Do you know what you would have today? You would have well over $1 million. from a $3,000 investment. Take some risk. Hey, who do you think is more faithful, God or Apple? Which is a better investment, God or Apple? Take some risk. Invest in God's work. Get it out there on the table. God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give it to you. What are you going to do with it? I can't wait to see. I'm going to go to my broker tomorrow. I don't have one, but I'm going to go to my broker tomorrow and I'm going to say, hey, I'd like my $1 million from my investment in Apple. You know what he's going to do? He's going to open up a book. He's going to say, I don't show that you ever invested in Apple. Therefore, you don't have any return from Apple. And I don't really care that I don't have a return from Apple, but here's what I don't want to have happen. I don't want to have him, being God, open up his book and say, I don't have any investment of all the stuff I gave you. You didn't invest in my kingdom at all. The Bible says that it's possible to be saved and yet to stand before him and he opens up the books and to say, as the time comes to give rewards for, hey, we're actually going to get rewarded. That's amazing to me. It'd be enough to me if I just got salvation. We're actually going to get rewarded. Can you believe that? We're going to get rewarded for all the good things that we have invested what God gave us. He gave Joe Henschel a gift to really sing, to really worship. I heard Joe's prayer when he opened up the service and he said, oh Lord, we just love you so much and Lord, we want to worship you this morning and Lord, we just love you. He gave Joe Henschel a heart to just want to love God. And Joe now takes that and he uses it and he leads us in worship today. And now God does something amazing. Here's what I know about Joe. He just wants to do this. He said, I'll come to your church anytime you want me to. I'll come to your church. I'll lead worship. I just love doing it. Here's what I know about this. This is crazy as it is. Joe's going to stand before God and guess what's going to happen? He's going to get rewarded for using the gifts God gave him. Crazy. I love sharing my faith with you. I love teaching the Bible. To me, I'd rather talk about that than anything else. And here's what's going to happen. Guess what I'm going to get? I'm going to get rewards for it. Amazing. And no wonder the Bible says when we get these rewards, we just take them off and we lay them at his feet and go, I don't deserve this. I'm just an unprofitable servant doing what I was supposed to do. Lord, you're amazing. No. He says, I know you just did what you're supposed to do, but I have rich rewards for you. The rewards are both here and forever. Jesus said, lay up treasures for yourself, not just on earth where moth and dust and rust ruin it and they just get old. You get a trophy and it looks pretty bad in a couple months. You got to dust it and it gets corroded and a little arm on the guy breaks off and you got a trophy like this. Yeah, don't go for those kind of treasures. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. But here's the scary part. The Bible says it's possible to be saved, to be clothed in his righteousness, to receive a garment of salvation, and yet to stand before him on that day, and he puts everything we did through the test, and nothing comes out. And we stand before him, the Bible puts it this way, naked as through a fire. We still have salvation, but there's no rewards. Why? Because we didn't invest. Take some risks. Take some risks. Go for it. Live your life for Jesus Christ and watch him pour his abundant blessings upon you. Check your portfolio, Christian. Have you been investing in Jesus Christ? Are you pouring into others? Are you remembering the simplicity of his two great commandments that you would love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and that you would show that love by loving others as yourself? It's not real complex. Oh, but it's incredibly rewarding. Next week, we'll pick up in where we left off in Ecclesiastes. I have three more points that I want to share with you about how to live life in its glory. How to experience God's very best for us. But it's going to require this first step. The first step cast your bread out on the waters. Take some risks. What do you think? Are you game? It's good to get our lives realigned. It's good to check our trajectory. And may we experience all that God has for us as we line up according to his ways. Joe and the band, come back up. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask you to close your Bibles, put everything down. I want you to take a moment of reflection with me. Just a moment of reflection. Eyes closed. Jesus, you said that we did not choose you, but you chose us. Jesus, you said that we did not love you first, but you loved us first. Jesus, you said that you would call us to yourself and that you would lead us by your Spirit into life abundant. Lord, right now we pause just for a moment to reflect and to take inventory. How's our trajectory? And Lord, if we've traded what you have for us with what is safe, with what is comfortable, with what is selfish, oh Lord, may we just lay it at your feet this morning. Thank you that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're not here to condemn us this morning, but to bring us into life. We praise you for it. We thank you for your incredible mercy towards us. And now, Lord, may we embrace your call. May we walk in your ways. And may we commit now to align 2016 to be in harmony with your Spirit. We want to be used by you. This morning, if it's your desire to realign, to have your 2016 be in harmony with what God wants to do in your life, if you want to be a disciple maker, if you want to be an instrument in his hand, if you want to be the light and the salt of the earth, I want to invite you right now. Just raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. I want to live my life to its fullest. I want to have a life filled with your glory. Lord, here am I. Use me. Lord, you see each and every hand here this morning making a decision for you, making a commitment to you. Lord, help us in our weakness and lead us by your power. Allow your Spirit to fill each and every one, Lord, even to overflowing, that, Lord, we might just give to others out of the abundance you've given to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 It's a new week. May we live it to the glory of Jesus.